You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, July 29th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by a fun little thing we're doing tomorrow. The MLB trade deadline is approaching. It is tomorrow. And the Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove live. 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in tomorrow, Friday, July 30th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. We are closing in on the trade deadline. Crazy how quickly it's come. And there's a lot on the Twins side here. You know, we know that the Twins are maybe the most fascinating, and there was a quote from an NL executive in Dan Hayes' piece, the most fascinating team in on the trade deadline right now, honestly, with how many assets they have, guys with multiple years of control, guys who are rentals, and there's been more Jose Barrios buzz today than there has been at all in the last month, and it really does sound like Jose Barrios is going to be traded here, and I won't be surprised if the episode tomorrow is talking about that, and I think we're going to have to cover a lot of trades because Michael Pineda is going to be on the move. I think Andrelton Simmons is going to be on the move, Hansel Robles, and then Barrios is going to be the big one potentially. No steam really on Buxton today, yesterday, or at all this week. And that makes sense to me because I really didn't think that Buxton would be dealt. His value is not the highest it'll be. I think the Twins, if they want to trade him, should do it this offseason. Take the gamble that he'll stay healthy when he comes back and shows more of what he can do. But right now on the injury list, he's only played 27 games this year, mid-20s games. It's not like his value is as high as someone like Barrios, who's having a really nice year and has a year and a half left of team control. So where we stand right now is his market seems like it's super hot and heavy. John Heyman reporting at least six teams are in. The Twins have offers in hand, according to Ken Rosenthal. And the possibility that Barrios has moved is increasing, it seems, by the minute almost. And the American League East is after him. The Rays, the Jays, and the Red Sox. And we mentioned all those teams as possibilities. But when I talked about Jose Barrios, and I have a trade back a couple weeks ago mocking trades for Jose Barrios, the amount of teams that could use him is robust. I mean, it's so many teams that could use him right now, teams that are in the hunt. You look at the National League East as well, at least three teams who could use him in the National League East, in the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves. And you look at the American League East, at least three teams. I mean, why not the Yankees as well? Four teams in the East in the American League that could use him. And we know for sure that the Jays and Rays and Red Sox are interested. And it sounds like the Jays are a big-time player. And that's a match that has made sense for a long time, Jose Barrios to Toronto. I've stood staunch that I don't think that they'll trade Jose Barrios. And I think I'm starting to shift. And my odds went from 70-30 that he won't be traded last week to 50-50 yesterday to now I think it's 70-30 that he will be traded. Because I think what's happened here based on reports and just what it sounds like is the market's better than what they thought. And I think that when you looked at it, it makes sense for that to be true because of how many teams could use him, because of that extra year of control, because he's so cheap in arbitration next year, the upside, the age, the competitiveness, it's all there. And it's too much for some teams to not come forward with a big prospect package this year. And I think that's what's happening right now. I think the Twins are fielding offers for Jose Barrios, big time offers for Jose Barrios. And I feared in a way that those offers would end up becoming too big to turn down. I've also stood by the fact that I think the Twins can compete next year, that I think that with an expanded postseason, with the way this division looks right now, I think that they can sneak their way in next year. No one wants to sneak their way in, but I do believe that if you get in, you can make some noise. In October, you look at the Nationals last year, started 19-31, win the wild card game because the ball went through Trent Grisham's legs and then make a huge run and win the World Series. And I believe that the Twins could make noise next year if they kept Barrios, if they kept Buxton, and they had a good offseason. It would require a lot of things to happen. They would need some progression. They would need to have a good offseason. But it's going to be really hard if you trade Jose Barrios to convince the fan base that they're going for it in 2022 again. And I think in that case, you could see Barrios move tonight, Thursday night, because there need to be, I mean, there's pillars that will drop. I think the dominoes will start to fall as soon as Barrios is moved. Then why wouldn't, I mean, you could still trade Buxton in the offseason. Why wouldn't you trade Josh Donaldson right now? Why wouldn't you trade Taylor Rogers, even if he is on the injury list, if you get an offer for him? Why wouldn't you trade those guys? Why wouldn't you even trade Kenta Maeda at that point? You know, if you were going to trade Berríos, you can blow this thing up and look toward 2023, 2024 and really stack the farm system. And then, yes, we're talking about a rebuild at that point. But I don't know how you can trade Berríos and have Kenta Maeda as your only starter coming back next year. Kenta Maeda was an ERA over 4 this year after being so good last year. And try to remake an entire rotation. Then you talk about the bullpen, remaking an entire bullpen. They still need to sign a shortstop. And they have money to spend, but it's not like they have Yankee money to spend. You know, and I think that it's going to be really hard to remake that rotation. We've seen Bailey Ober looks good. You know, hopeful Charlie Barnes could potentially be a back of the rotation option. I love Jordan Balazovic. He's still in AA, but it just, there's not enough guys there for them to feel confident that they could just put together a rotation that's going to compete next year in the American League. It's not feasible without Jose Berríos. It's a big difference having Berríos and Maeda than it is just having Maeda. You know, it's a 20% difference in your rotation, and you're also adding someone who's a really good number two with number one upside in Berríos. You're losing that if you trade him now. But it sure seems like it's going to happen. I mean, continue to refresh those Twitter feeds, because I think it's just a matter of when, not if, certainly. And I think it's inevitable that Jose Berríos is going to be gone here by the trade deadline Friday. Let's talk more about what's happening on the deadline. The stove is hot. Let's talk about some deals that have gone down today after the break.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked on there, "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
The Yankees make their second big move for a big left-handed bat, acquiring Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs for a right-handed pitcher Vizcaíno and an outfielder Alcantara. I really liked Vizcaíno. We looked at him a little bit in the match when I was talking about Max Kepler potentially going there. I don't think that that's going to happen now because they've gotten two left-handed bats in Gallo and Rizzo. But that's an interesting fit in New York. I think the Yankees, I don't know if they have a sense that they can make a push in the division. I think that that's a long shot, but perhaps they still feel like, you know, they can get they're of the belief, like I was saying, maybe you can get into the wild card game, make some noise, and you know, feel good about your chances in October. Their lineup's going to be nasty. I mean, that's going to be a tough lineup. You got LeMahieu, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Gallo as your 1-5. Gary Sanchez is still there. Luke Voit is there for now. That's going to be a tough lineup. They need starting pitching. They need more quality starting pitching, and I think they'll probably make another move or two. Maybe the Twins have told the Yankees, like, we're not trading Berríos to New York. I mean, that's a possibility, but it seems like maybe a reunion with Michael Pineda could make some sense. I mean, they could use anyone in the middle of the rotation. Gerrit Cole got beat up bad this morning in their game in the series finale with Tampa, so they need starting pitching after Cole, and they need it now, and I think the Yankees recognize that. But going after big left-handed bats that are going to rake at Yankee Stadium, I mean, that's huge. Yankees have gotten nothing from lefties this year, really. So those are two big acquisitions for them. Rizzo brings that leadership, brings that great defense at first base. I think those are two good moves for the Yankees. Diego Castillo is traded from the Rays to Seattle. Diego Castillo is one of the nastiest closer slash relievers in the game. Tampa Bay, for those who don't know him, 99 with the sinker, nasty slider, one of the best sliders in all of baseball. The Rays are odd. Like, this just kind of highlights how weird the Rays are. Like, they'll trade one of their highest leverage relievers in the middle of a pennant race right after they traded for Nelson Cruz. Get some money off the books. I don't know. They got JT Chacon back, Twins legend, and a third base prospect. I'm sure they'll turn Chacon into a stud. But it's just weird Rays stuff that they pull. And maybe they'll go after Berríos now. They're clearing up some salary to add Jose Berríos. You never know. Max Scherzer, market closing. It seemed like he was off to San Diego today, but that gets pulled back. It's not completed yet. Max Scherzer going to be on the move here. And that does impact Jose Berríos' market, because as soon as Scherzer's moved, there should be a mad scramble for Berríos. And if it is San Diego for Scherzer, I think you can expect, even though the Dodgers traded for Danny Duffy today, so much happening. I mean, so many trades happening. That they would be in on Berríos, or if you know Scherzer ends up going to the Dodgers, that the Padres would then pivot to Berríos, who we know they've been aggressive for as well. So it impacts Berríos' market. If Berríos was the only one on the market, he would be, I mean, even more highly sought after. But I think with Scherzer, and when Scherzer goes, you're going to see the Berríos market take shape even more. But again, I think that this is inevitable. I think it's going to happen. I think the Twins front office is realizing just what they could get here. And it's hard not to accept a deal where you're going to get potentially multiple major league regulars for your pitcher who's going to leave in, I don't know, 15 months to free agency. It's hard not to entertain that. And you think about it, and I've been back and forth. And again, I want them to compete next year. I think if you have a chance to compete, yes, compete. But the long-term health of the organization, what's the best thing for the organization long-term? And I it's hard to argue with saying a big package for Berríos. That still means a big package. If you don't get what you want, if it's not enough in your estimation, you don't do it. You don't just trade them to trade them. Then you make that decision at that point when you keep them that we're going to go for it in 2022 and do our best to field the best team in 2022. But if you get the package that you like with players that your organization likes, and you think that these are going to be players that will help you down the road in the next decade of Twins baseball, multiple of them, you do it. You do it for the long-term health of the organization, and I think that that's something that the Red Sox did with Mookie Betts. It was salary relief, definitely, to get under the luxury tax, but the long-term health of the organization sometimes needs to be in consideration, and I don't know. I think this is one of the toughest things for them. I think Berríos is, in thinking about 2022, is such a key to that 2022 team, while also realizing he only plays every fifth day. So it's going to require a lot from other guys too to keep them in contention. And then you think about how much you could get for him now compared to next year's trade deadline, when who knows where he's at, and it's only a rental deal at that point. I think for a lot of teams that are maybe excited about how good they ended up being this year, like the Red Sox or the Giants, I think it interests them to trade for Jose Berríos now, because you have him for next year as well, and it raises the floor of your 2022 team. And I think that that's an interesting proposition for some clubs. I think that's a huge deal that Jose Berríos has an extra year of control, and not only an extra year of control, but super cheap. It's like $8 million or something like that he's going to make in arbitration. And you look at the Rays, they add Berríos and Glasnow together at the top of that rotation next year. Just, I mean, that sounds great for them. The Blue Jays need it. They need to take advantage of all these guys, Vlad and Bo Bichette and Biggio and Tosker and all these guys being so cheap right now, and still having a good farm system with good shortstops and good arms. Take advantage of that this year and next year, and you can see that with the Jays too. And that's just why I think that it's all going to come together here, because there's too much pressure on teams. Now with the Red Sox watching the Yankees go at Rizzo and Gallo, they have a hefty lead over the Yankees in the American League East, but still, I mean, you kind of shiver in your boots, I think, if you're the Red Sox at that point, and it might make you go out and put something big together for Berríos. I think there's too much demand here for him not to be sold. I think there's just too much going on. There's too many teams that could use him, and too many teams with good farm systems for the Twins to not get enticed by a deal. I think the Twins front office is smart. I think they know what they're doing, while also acknowledging that this is a very difficult decision, and this is something that can't be taken lightly, because he's a fan favorite, and it significantly impacts your chances of competing in 2022. And at that point, I mean, are you punting? It's going to be called into consideration. But yes, my odds have changed. So I think it's a certainty Berríos is dealt. I don't, but I think that the odds are much, much higher than they were even 24 hours ago, with how much buzz and it seems like how much the market is shaping up for Jose Berríos. Let's talk about some other Twins after the break that could be on the move and what they could bring back in deals. We've talked about it before, but let's just update trade deadline primer. There's a lot going on. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code LOCKEDON. So Hansel Robles, Michael Pineda, I think are the two that are the most valuable trade chips that are rentals. I think for Pineda, they should be able to get like a low-end B-level prospect for him. I would hope that would be a really nice return for the Twins. For Robles, I mean, some C-level prospect that you like potentially would be a nice return for him. So they're not going to get anything close to what they would get in a Barrios deal for Robles and for Pineda, but they also have Simmons that they can maybe get a C-level prospect for. You have some other guys, and if you trade all those guys together, they're going to restock this farm in a big way. I mean, you're going to see the Twins definitely have a top 10 farm system in all of baseball at that point. They were already borderline top 10, you know, top 12, top 13 on most publications, and if they make all these moves and you already added Joe Ryan and you already added Drew Strotman and you add a Barrios deal where you could get potentially multiple top 100 prospects for him, they should. If they trade Jose Barrios, they should get that. They shouldn't do it if they don't get that. Then you're going to see the Twins farm system really jump. And that's why you start to think about the rebuild, because then you're like, oh, they have a great farm system and not as much at the major league level. But the Twins are in an interesting position because they've already graduated prospects right now. They have guys who I think can help them right now in Kirilloff and Larnach and Jeffers. I'm confident Jeffers is going to end up being a good major leaguer. I'm confident that Trevor Larnach is going to end up being a good major leaguer. And Alex Kirilloff is out for the year now, but I think he showed a lot of promise in his time up with Minnesota. They have a lot. I mean, they have a lot of talent, and that's why they're such an interesting team at this deadline. But I think if you traded Robles and Pineda and Simmons and whatever you can get for Colome or Happ, I think, and with Nelson Cruz's return, and you trade Jose Barrios, and you trade potentially Byron Buxton, there's no way you're competing next year if you trade Buxton and Barrios. It's just you're losing too much upside for that club, and then you're losing your center fielder. But you're going to get so much in return. Like, they're going to get just mounds of prospects in return and guys that they like. It'll be interesting because if they traded Nelson Cruz for two AAA arms that are close to ready in their 20, like their mid-20s, and then they go trade Jose Barrios for like a 19-year-old shortstop, you know, the argument is that you trade for the most value. You know, you trade for the most value, but I think it'll be interesting to see what they get back and what they're targeting. You know, there are reports that the Twins were not targeting Nate Pearson or Alek Manoah from Toronto, but they're targeting, those are two right-handed pitchers, starting pitchers, but they're targeting more like the Austin Martin, Jordan Groshans, the shortstops, which is interesting to me. Maybe they're just looking for value. They're looking for guys they like. I mean, there's an argument to be made that that should be what they do. But you've seen with the White Sox, you watch the White Sox rebuild, which was really interesting. What they did is they traded their, when they decided they were going to rebuild and they were going to put stock into the prospects and become one of the best farm systems in the league, they picked guys and traded for guys that were all, they traded for value. They traded for the most that they could get, but it turned out that they were all kind of graduating together. Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, you know, all those guys, Lucas Giolito, they kind of graduated together, and then that was your next core, and they had to wait a while for it. They had some really terrible seasons where the Twins beat up on them pretty badly, but they all kind of graduated and came in together, and the White Sox chose to take a mixture of the value and of the ages of the next wave, and you choose, and you say, okay, we're gonna target 2020, is I think when the White Sox targeted. In the 2019 offseason, they signed Yasmani Grandal, they signed Dallas Keuchel, Edwin Encarnacion, and they made all these signings to compete in 2020, and I think they picked 2020 when they started that rebuild in 2016 as their year. And it's interesting because if the Twins want to do that, I think you could get the most value out of that. If you find the value in these young guys and you sacrifice another season of being not competitive again in like 2023, then you could potentially field the best team, but that doesn't guarantee you anything, and that's a risky proposition. I don't think it's something that Derek Falvey and Thad Levine want to do. I don't think it's something that Twins fans want them to do. And again, it's a very risky thing, but it'll be very, very intriguing to see who they get back, what they get back, how old those guys are, what positions they play. The return is going to be just so intriguing for Jose Barrios if he's dealt, if and when he is dealt. in the next, I don't know, 20 hours. It's going to be wild to see what they get back on the whole on this market. Just to put that list of the prospects that they get will be intriguing. I still think there's a chance, again, that Berríos is not dealt. And I think at that point, then you got to commit. You got to say, okay, we chose not to move him for these packages that we have as offers. And I support that too. Let's go for it in 2022. Let's have a good offseason. Let's come back. Let's do the best we can to put a winning team on the field next year, and let's go get it. And I think I would support that, and that's what I'm hoping that they do. But again, it's hard not to think, like, as a lifelong Twins fan, as a Twins fan who's going to be following this team forever, to not think the long-term health of the organization may be better suited for José Berríos being dealt for a package, you know, a package of prospects that could help you in a couple of years. It's hard not to think that way. You're conflicted because we love José Berríos. He's a Twin for life. I never want to see him pitch for another team. The way that he came up, the way that he's competed, and the way that he's led for the Twins, and just the person that he is, you never want to lose guys like that. You never want to lose homegrown stars like that. But at the same time, what's the best thing for them? You know, what's the best thing for them right now? What's the best thing for them in 5 years, in 10 years? Is it keeping José Berríos and losing him for a draft pick after he leaves as a free agent after 2022? I don't know. Maybe that's best for the team in 2022. Maybe it's not best for the team in 2023 and 2024. So you have to consider those things and weigh it all. And I'm glad I'm not the one that gets paid to do that, because that's very difficult. But I think conflicted, it's hard. It's going to be hard when he's dealt. It's going to be hard if he's not dealt, because then there's so much pressure on 2022 at that point. You chose not to move him when you had offers in hand to move him. And you're really going to have a lot of pressure going into next year and going into the offseason, have a really good offseason to turn this thing around, turn the pitching staff around for 2022. But it's all fascinating. The trade deadline's amazing. A lot of things have been happening. And we'll have an episode tomorrow night breaking down all the Twins trades that they make, everything they do, because trades are coming and this thing is cooking. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter at NashBarker9 for more like instant reaction to things. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins, and definitely tune in tomorrow. We'll see what happens. This is crazy.